Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Duval County Public Schools is doing something special the entire month of May. Not only that, they've also trained school personnel, including administrators and teachers, to look for signs of poor mental health. Today, I'm joined by Katrina Taylor. She's the Director of School Behavioral Health. Ms. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we're talking about the mental health of children. And I know that you're with Duval County Public Schools, but it's also important to know that in this interview, we won't just be talking about, in general, about Duval County Public School children. It's more all
correct
students.
Right.
But first of all, let's talk about what you do for the district.
Sure. I'm the director of school behavioral health, so I oversee everything as relates to mental health for the district to increase mental health literacy in our district as well as in our community, as well as helping to increase access to mental health services. I also oversee the full service school model, a traditional model for our district, as well as the full service school plus model for our district as well.
What is a full service school?
So the full service school has been something that's been around in Duval County since the 1990s. We have 8 full service schools strategically placed throughout Duval County, Inglewood area, Sandalwood, Arlington, Westside, Rebalt, historic James Weldon Johnson area, to name a few, Springfield. So they're strategically placed. And these hubs are generally on the same campus as the school. With Full Service School, it's a partnership between Jacksonville Children's Commission, Duval County, United Way, as well as a social service partner. In these hubs, the schools can refer various students to the hub to receive mental health services. That's counseling, they can receive mentorship, behavioral therapy, various therapies through this particular hub. And the services can be provided through the schools as well, as long as the student lives. The student attends one of the 87 full service schools. If the student does not attend one of the 87 full service schools, if they live in the zip code area, they can have access to the services as long as the parent transports them there to full service schools. So full service school and 8 hubs throughout Duval County provide services to 87 schools in our county. With Full Service School Plus, which is an initiative that was brought to Duval County during the 2015-16 school year, that particular pilot was implemented in the Rebalt APR in Raines High School area. There were 12 schools selected, 3 high schools, 2 middle and 7 elementary schools, and the therapists through Children's Home Society are placed in the walls of the school. The therapists provide services to the students in the schools to provide services to them whenever the student is referred by a teacher, administrator, dean. They can see the student immediately. So it's kind of like saying the full service school plus model is full service school on steroids.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Now, one of the things you mentioned, you said that basically the full service school plus model, mm-hmm. that's on the north side.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is something we talked about off air, off mic. But when we think about traditionally in African-American communities, mental health is just not something that we do.
Right. Absolutely. Good point. What we found with this pilot is we're definitely breaking barriers. We're breaking stigma is real. We have to be mindful that stigma is real, not only in the United States of America, but also is real in the African-American community. So we're having to increase the parents' mental health literacy and educating them as to the impact that mental illness have on their children. Not only that, but the impact that it has on their academics. That it has on their attendance as well as their disciplinary rate. A lot of parents don't understand that. So I think that increasing their understanding of what mental illness look like, but not only that, but helping them to understand that recovery is possible. That is not the end all. Hope is there, you know, and just trying to educate families is huge. Also, bringing in the faith-based partners is huge in the African-American community. We have to start with the faith-based partners because that's where a lot of our families are going to get advice. that's where they're learning about mental health, and sometimes it's not necessarily a positive light. So we're having to do that as well. So I think the faith-based partnership as well as increasing the mental health literacy has helped us to break down some barriers. However, there is still work to be done.
How do you educate parents? That's one of the things you mentioned.
Yes. One way in Duval County that we educate parents is through our Parent Academy. Parent Academy has been in our district for the last 5 years, and it's an opportunity for parents to attend a lecture, a training, a workshop on various topics. In Duval County, we have specific Parent Academies focused on mental health called Healthy Minds, Healthy Kids, as well as Unlocking the Pieces to Student Mental Health. Once the parent attends those particular workshops, which can be happen any Duval County Public School, we have them placed in any of our partners' buildings, various businesses. The partners can request it, and we can have host a Parent Academy there as well. But it's an opportunity for parents to engage. It's an opportunity for parents to learn something that they've never known about.
What is attendance like for these types of programs, mental health specifically?
It varies. We've had parent academies for Unlocking the Pieces and Healthy Minds, Healthy Kids, where there was standing room only. And then we've had some where there were five parents. And I particularly remember the one with five parents and this dad who said, "This is great. I wish there was, why isn't there more parents here? They need to know this. This is good information." So I think we have to get the information out, help them to understand the impact that mental health has on their students' academic success. And once we break down that barrier, I think that we'll get more involvement with parents in these parent academies.
Another thing you mentioned is mental illness and what it looks like.
Right.
So what does it look like? Can't it vary?
It can vary. It depends on the student. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, some of our kids have protector factors that are in place, and they're a little bit more resilient than others. But when we start looking at signs and symptoms, authentic signs and symptoms of mental illness, you'll start to see like a decline in their academics. You'll see a decline in their attendance. You would see crying spells. You would see when the student doesn't want to come to school or they're being very defiant, getting into fights a lot. Not having healthy communication skills, not having good ways of coping, positive ways of coping. They're using drugs or they're using alcohol. All of these and more can be, you know, signs and symptoms that a student may have a mental illness.
What if I'm a parent and I don't know my child is using alcohol and drugs? What else can I look for to see the signs that they could be using alcohol and drugs mm-hmm. to possibly self-medicate?
Right, absolutely. And that you made a very good point. A lot of people who have an undiagnosed mental illness, oftentimes they self-medicate. You know, they self-medicate to drown out the pain, to drown out the sadness, to drown out the suffering. So as a parent, you should definitely notice the look in your student's eyes. Whether it's drugs or alcohol, it's always in the eyes. Not necessarily, you know, it's, you know, a big thing now is opiates. A lot of kids are taking pills. That's a huge thing right now, which does not have a smell. It does not have a scent. Parents just think marijuana is going to have a scent, but that doesn't have a scent. However, you could see it in his eyes. You could check the pupil dilation. You could check the wateriness of the eyes. You can check the color of the eyes. Also, you can look at the way that your child normally would respond, their sleeping pattern, as well as do you notice a decline in their academics, like instant. We're talking about drastic. And not only drastic, but we also have to look at the extent in which it happens. So a long period of time, not like a one-time thing, but over weeks, over months, you're seeing a pattern of these behaviors. So I would say know your student. You have to know your child and their mannerisms. And if you know that something is off, that should be a red flag for you.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
So that's parents. Mm-hmm. But what about personnel in schools?
Good.
How are they trained to look for these signs of mental problems?
So the district during the 2014-15 school year was awarded a grant through Project AWARE, which is a SAMHSA grant, Advancing Wellness, Resiliency, and Education, and it was through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Association out of Washington, D.C. That particular grant allowed us an opportunity to implement youth mental health first aid, which is a great, phenomenal training that we have in here in the district. And this particular training helps faculty members, principals, anyone that works with the youth recognize the signs and symptoms of mental illness. Through this particular training, it's an 8-hour course, and it covers a range of common disorders that we're seeing in youth that potentially could cause a crisis in that young person's life. In the district so far, we've trained over 2,000 employees. We've trained over 200 principals in adult mental health first aid. And with adult mental health first aid, that helps the principals in the building to recognize the signs and symptoms and their employees, as well as the parents that may let them know that there's a mental health crisis. So we only have about 80 more administrators to train, which is phenomenal. And we plan to have that done by the end of this summer. With the teachers, of course, Duval County is huge. So we have trained over 2,000 teachers. But the superintendent's goal is that we have every teacher trained in youth mental health first aid by the end of the grant period, which is 2019.
So tell me, why is this important?
I think that it's important to our district for a variety of reasons. Ultimately, we want to make sure that we're helping the entire child. We're trying to shape and mold the entire student so they can become productive citizens one day. If a student has a mental illness or struggling with the mental health crises, it impacts their learning. It impacts their discipline, their behaviors. It impacts their ability to want to come. It impacts their attendance and their struggle to come to school. So it impacts all those various areas. And if mental illness is addressed, their grades are going to go up. If mental illness is addressed, they're going to have better relationship with their peers and not have get into fights or not have confrontations with teachers. If a mental illness is addressed, they're going to want to come to school because they're emotionally well and they're emotionally healthy. So I think that it we have to address it, and it's important because it helps to mold the entire student and the whole child in general so that they can be successful in life.
And that just leads to other mm-hmm. things. So really mm-hmm. it needs to start early.
Right.
Because then that could lead to homelessness.
Right.
Which leads to a whole nother array of problems.
Right. It's a trickle down effect. When we look at our judicial system, do you know what the largest mental health institute is in the world? Our jails.
Say it.
Our jails. We have to start early. You know, the earlier we start, the better the outcome that we have, our youth has. Ultimately, we want them to become productive citizens. And the only way they're going to become productive citizens is if they graduate from high school and go on to pursue some form of career or trade. So mental illness plays a valuable role in that academic success.
Let's say you've trained mm-hmm. the personnel in the schools.
Right.
So after they've spotted something's wrong,
right?
What's next?
Okay.
What do they do next?
Once that particular administrator recognizes, or teacher, they recognize that there's an issue with the student, all of our schools have a school counselor. So they can refer the student to the school counselor, and that school counselor would assess the need to see if this is a one-time issue or this is something that will warrant a referral to a social service agency. As I stated earlier in the interview, 87 of Duval County Public Schools have access to full service schools. So that's our primary referral source. So if that school counselor sees that there is a need for mental health services, they will refer them to full service schools. We also have partnerships with other agencies that are our approved vendors through the county. So we can refer to those agencies as well if there's a mental health need. But the first point is, of course, is to contact the parent and make them aware. They have to notify the parent, because without the parent's approval, without the parent's consent, these agencies cannot provide the service. So if the school counselor sees that there is a need, you know, they can refer. But ultimately, they have to notify the parent. And once they notify the parent and, you know, set that up, then we can receive the services. If they find that it's something such as academic counseling that impacted the student to want to go to sleep in school, then they can address that. But if it's something deeper than what a school counselor can handle, they will refer to full service schools. Also, another point, our middle schools in Duval County, most of our middle schools have what's called a motivational coach. That's an agreement that we have through an external partner. And a motivational coach is in our some of our middle schools to provide group counseling to our kids in the schools. They could do anything from social emotional, academics, bereavement, and these are group counseling. And also with Full Service School Plus, we know that 12 of our schools in north side of Jacksonville have therapists within the walls of the school, and the teachers can directly refer to that therapist. You know, it doesn't have to go through the school counselor. They can directly send them there. So Duval County, we have a variety of different ways that if a child has a mental illness, they can receive the services that they need.
You talked about, well, the student, they may not be eating, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So do you offer, and this is just really random, do you offer the counseling or the class so the cafeteria workers may spot it?
Yeah.
Because, right. you know, I used to love the cafeteria ladies, right. you know?
Good point. And we're working on that with Duval County, with this grant. Our focus is on school-based employees. However, we have a partnership with the Mental Health America, who received the community grant that mirrors our school grant. So I've been working with the partners through Mental Health America, and they're going to provide the training to the cafeteria workers, because the cafeteria, they're not DCPS and janitorial. They're not DCPS, even though they work in our schools. But they're going to provide that training to them to make them aware of the signs and the symptoms. Because as you stated, a lot of our kids confide in cafeteria workers. A lot of our kids confide in janitorial staff. So we want to saturate not only our district with this training, but the community with this training, you know. So we're very excited about the great things that we're doing in this area to increase mental health literacy in our teachers and in our school district in general.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
So excited about it.
What are you guys doing that's special to help people become more aware?
Right. So last year, we started a variety of different activities, culminating activities around Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm very passionate about mental health. I live it, I breathe it, I eat it. And so my goal as a director of school behavioral health is to increase knowledge of this. So we have a variety of activities that's planned around the month. Throughout the whole month, we're going to have a mental health proclamation that's read at a school board meeting on May 8th. That is declaring that Duval County, the month of May, is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as a district, we're going to take a stand against stigma and breaking that in the community. We also have mental health resource fair for DCPS employees, because so often we focus on the kids, but those kids, those adults are just big kids. And so a lot of our adults are struggling with mental illness. So we decided to do a resource fair to give them resources about their mental health and increasing that, because a mentally healthy, friendly adult becomes more informed and they can help that youth. So we have that as well. We also had a mental health awareness video and PSA contest. And we've already selected the winners. They'll be announced on May 1st. And they're students who created videos and posters increasing mental health awareness. And so we're very excited about that. We did it last year and it was a huge success. So we're doing that. And then on May 19th at William and Raines High School, we're going to have a student mental health conference for the ninth grade students of Raines. And on May 26th, we're going to have a mental health conference for the middle school students of Jeff Davis Middle School. And those particular conferences will focus on different things such as healthy relationships, communication. These are breakout sessions that the students can take advantage of. Communication, not just mental health, but the entire social-emotional wellness, cyber safety and bullying, crisis and suicide prevention, health relationships, healthy communication, so drugs and alcohol, violence prevention. So there's a variety of different topics that the ninth graders of Raines will be able to take advantage of, as well as the students of Jeff Davis will be able to take advantage of. So that, you know, in a nutshell, is what we're doing as a county to help to increase mental health literacy and access, and we're very excited about it.
That sounds like a lot, and good information for the parents, the students, the teachers, everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Please tell my listeners where they can go to get more information about everything we've talked about today.
Sure. No problem. If you'd like more information about the great things that we're doing here in Duval County as relates to mental health, you can go to www.duvalschools.org/projectaware. And on that particular webpage, you will see a variety of different mental health resources on that page through the Office of School Culture and Climate, which is ultimately what this initiative is pushed out of in Duval County, is out of the Office of School Culture and Climate. So they can visit www.duvalschools.org and do /projectaware to get access to more information.
Great. Well, Ms. Taylor, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you as well for joining us this morning on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.